You are listening to 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. Stay tuned for the Heartland Labor Forum, radio that talks back to the boss. Welcome to the Heartland Labor Forum, a weekly show of news, information, and commentary by and for the working people of Kansas City. This show is produced by a team of volunteers from a broad range of workplaces and unions. The views expressed on the Heartland Labor Forum are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI or any unions involved. Welcome to the Heartland Labor Forum. Tonight's show is being underwritten by IBEW Local 124, and United Steelworkers District 11. The International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers supports the Heartland Labor Forum. We've been wiring Kansas City since 1905. If you're not finding your electrical contractor at IBEW local124.org, then you are not getting the best value for your money. And United Steelworkers District 11 represents 33,000 members in the Midwest, protecting worker rights and organizing the unorganized. We support union-made products. We thank our underwriters for their contributions to the Heartland Labor Forum and KKFI. On tonight's show, we've heard a lot lately about arming teachers to protect our schools. Is this a good idea or really a bad one? On tonight's show, we'll ask a panel of teachers from the Kansas City area what they think about guns in schools and other measures aimed at stopping the mayhem. In the news, teachers' unions back student-led March for Life. Our feature at the end of the show is Washington Window on Workers with Mark Grunberg, and we're going to talk about trade.
Give teachers guns, guns, give teachers guns. I've got a great idea, my friends, for the shootings in our schools. There's a lot of sickos with guns out there, and only one thing. Give all the teachers guns. The teacher walks in the class and sets a machine gun on the desk. She didn't get any sleep last night. She was up late grading tests. I can't foresee any problems with giving all the teachers guns. Give teachers guns. I really thought this through. Give teachers guns. We need more guns in school. And AK-47's paid for all the substitutes. Nothing could possibly go wrong when every teacher has a gun. Give teachers guns. Instantly the problem solved. Give teachers guns.
To the Heartland Labor Forum. I'm Chris Mann, and I, along with Lou Ann Fox and Rachel Gonzalez and seven educator colleagues, are hosting and participating in Teachers and Guns, Good Idea or Really Bad Idea? The introduction you've just heard was written and sung by the Trump Beatles. It's called Teachers with Guns. This program is dedicated to the spirit of the youthful movement called the March for Our Lives, spearheaded by the Stoneman Douglas High School students. We're departing from our regular format of the news from our side to deliver news that all people in the Metro Kansas City area will be able to attend a rally and march this Saturday, March 24th, 2018, in Tease Park across from the Nelson Atkins Art Museum. Here to tell us about it is Rachel Gonzalez. She's a student from Missouri Western College who is on the core planning committee for the March for Our Lives, which is a coalition of students and citizens speaking out against gun violence. Welcome, Rachel.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, no problem. Why should people go to the March for Our Lives?
People should go to the March for Our Lives because it is a way to show solidarity with the Parkland students and victims of gun violence all over the country. It will be much different from other marches we have had in the past, such as the Women's March and the Science March, because a lot of student voices have played a role in the planning. People will hear directly from students on why they are afraid to go to school, why they don't want their teachers to have guns, and that their voices will no longer be silenced. We are expecting somewhere around 10,000 people. This event in its entirety has been made possible by dozens of donors, over 25 local organizations, and a committed group of teenagers and amazing adult advisors.
So why did you personally get involved with helping to plan and organize the March for Our Lives?
Initially, I thought that I wanted to go to Washington, D.C. to march directly with the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas students. After seeing that in Kansas City there was a huge desire to have a march in solidarity, I decided to help plan one here. In order to plan an event this large, you have to have dedicated people on the team. So I committed all of my spring break and time after school to the planning of this event, and I hope that you guys will join us.
Okay, and what are some of the goals or demands of the march?
One of the main goal of the march is to call on Congress to act on gun legislation, including stricter background checks, mental health screenings, and putting a ban on AR-15s. To be clear, a lot of people think that this movement is a movement to ban all guns, which is completely not true. This movement just believes that AR-15s and semi-automatic guns in general should not be allowed for ordinary citizens.
Okay, and where can our listeners get more information about this?
The listeners could find our website. It's marchforourliveskc.org. We have an Instagram page, which is MFOL Kansas City. We have a Twitter page, MFOL Kansas City, or you can look up March for Our Lives KC on Facebook and find us.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Rachel. Now we have some other news relating to teachers and gun violence.
Expecting teachers to be armed guards goes against the grain of teaching. Many teachers would not want the burden of carrying guns and responsibility using them in a volatile, fast-moving, and changing critical situation. That's from the president of the Evansville Teachers Association.
Last week, Indiana State Teachers Association President Teresa Meredith tweeted that giving teachers guns sends a signal officials are giving up and accepting this crisis as the new reality. Instead of arming educators with guns, lawmakers should start by arming our schools with more psychologists and counselors so kids dealing with trauma get care before they become broken, she tweeted.
A California teacher is believed to have accidentally fired his weapon in a classroom today. Seaside police officers were summoned to a Seaside High School Tuesday after the teacher, who was teaching a public safety class, discharged the weapon, police said in a statement. Officials said one student was injured either by a bullet fragment or ceiling debris and transported to a local hospital by his parent for treatment.
From the Violence Policy Center, Washington, D.C., armed teachers, the facts argue against it. From 1990 to 1999, nearly 75% of police officers feloniously killed by suspects died within a 10-foot radius of the offender. This area is known as the killing zone because of the acute danger it represents to the police officers. One study found that 21% of officers killed with a handgun or shot with their own service weapons. Trained law enforcement officials have only an average 20% hit ratio in armed confrontations, meaning that only 20% of shots fired hit the intended target.
American Federation of Teachers President Randy Weingarten said her union's position is firm, even among teachers who are gun owners. Teachers don't want to be armed. We want to teach. We don't want to be and would never have the expertise needed to be sharpshooters. No amount of training can prepare an armed teacher to go up against an AR-15.
Bringing more guns into our schools does nothing to protect our students and educators from gun violence. Our students need more books, art, and music programs, nurses, and school counselors. They do not need more guns in their classrooms, said Lily Garcia, president of the National Education Association, the largest teachers' union.
And now we'll move to the second part of our program. Real teachers will be speaking to the topic, Teachers with Guns, Good Idea or Really Bad Idea? We'll get our studio rearranged with our teachers and listen to the song by Pa Brizzer, a farmer-songwriter. The song is Hey Teacher, Here's Your Gun. And we'll be back in 2 minutes.
On Saturday, March 24th, noon until 2:30 p.m. in Tice Park, across from the Nelson Art Gallery, Peaceworks KC, Moms Demand Action, Grandparents Against Gun Violence, and several other local gun control activist organizations are holding a rally in support of the nationwide student protest against gun violence. There will be speakers, literature tables, music, and appearance by Mayor Sly James. This message, a public service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
Poor People's Campaign Faith Assembly is taking place Saturday at Community Christian Church, 4601 Main Street, from 3 to 5 p.m. People of faith from across the metro will join national faith leaders for a special day of learning, multiracial movement building, and strategizing. RSVP at bit.ly/PPC KC Faith Assembly. This message a service of 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.
The Heartland Labor Forum. I'm Chris Mann, your host, along with Rachel Gonzalez and Lou Ann Fox, and seven educators from the greater Kansas City area. The Heartland Labor Forum is a public affairs program on KKFI 90.1 Kansas City Community Radio. Tonight's topic is Teachers Having Guns, Good Idea or Really Bad Idea? Next, our teachers will introduce themselves, tell why they teach, and they will let us know what they think about the idea of teachers being armed. Following that, the participants will exchange information and opinions.
My name is Cortland. I'm a fifth grade teacher, and I teach because somebody took the time to teach me. Why is carrying guns detrimental to the school culture and environment? Because I can't imagine growing up in a world where guns are an everyday thing. They say guns don't kill people, people kill people. I agree with that, and I don't trust a person with a gun, including a teacher.
I'm Angie, and I've been a high school teacher for 18 years, most of which have been in the metro area. I'm also a local union leader. Honestly, teaching is the only profession I've ever known because it's the only thing I've ever wanted to do. For my job, I get to guide young adults each day. I get to help them explore different parts of themselves and different aspects of the world around them. Personally, I'm uncomfortable with the idea of teachers being armed in my building. It doesn't make me feel safe. In fact, it makes me feel unsafe. More importantly, I have students, especially those who have experienced trauma, who would find the idea of the teachers in the building being armed frightening.
My name is Paul. I've taught in several districts in the Kansas City metro area. I kind of became a teacher by accident, but that's a whole different story. This is my second career. As far as arming teachers, I personally will not be volunteering to carry a weapon at school. But if there are districts that want to do something like Florida, which is tightly managed, and no classroom teacher would carry a gun unless they had previous police or military experience, then I'm willing to give that a shot if it could help save kids' lives.
I'm Joyce, and I teach fourth grade students. I teach because I think it's an important way to add to our community's education, welfare, and to help children learn what they can actually become and how much they can grow. Bringing guns into a school with a teacher is, to me, one of the most worst ideas I guess I've ever heard. We already make about 50 to 60 decisions within the course of 2 or 3 minutes a day. To make a decision to pick up a gun, where am I going to store that gun, how am I going to use it while I keep my children safe, is just not something I want to add to that educator's plate.
My name is Monica, and I teach sixth grade students here in the metro area. I am in my ninth year teaching. I do not think that it is the best idea to bring guns into the school and have teachers have to carry them. Schools are supposed to be a safe space, physically and emotionally, and we may want to drive the point that, you know, our society is becoming immune to gun violence. However, whether you are used to it or not, it's still a traumatic experience, and I don't think it's fair for a teacher to have to make that decision and possibly add to an already traumatic experience that a student may be having.
My name is Veronica, and I am a kindergarten teacher in the metropolitan area. I simply do not want to carry a gun to school. I didn't go to school to become for a profession that requires me to carry a gun. Like my predecessor said, school is supposed to be a safe haven. The children that I teach, they have enough trauma in their life. They don't need to accidentally see me with a gun or see or have a gun accidentally go off. I want my babies to feel safe. I want them to want to come to school. I want them to learn, and I want to teach without having to worry about where am I going to put a gun? I just don't want to even think about it at all.
I'm Luann, and I've taught for well over 20 years, and I've been in the metro area for all of that time. And like Cortland, I teach because somebody really good taught me, and I feel that teaching is something not really that I do, but it's something I've really had to learn how to become. And I really take pride in that. As far as guns go, I'm very, very uncomfortable with guns in school. I cannot imagine teaching in a place where there's more than just the gun that the school resource officer has. One thing I know is that the probability of students getting shot if there's no weapons there is none, right? And the only time there's a probability is if we have actual weapons in the building. And also, I seem to recall some famous guy said, you know, years ago around the civil rights movement that violence can't drive out violence. And I really think we need to pay attention to that.
Okay, maybe I would like to ask all our educators to respond to this. A teacher is not a soldier or a policeman. A school is not a battleground. Some of the teachers have gone into the fact that a school is supposed to be a place of nurturing and comfort. So how do guns fit into that?
I actually disagree with that premise. School is a battleground. School is war, but as the same as when you're in the military, everybody's job is not to be on the front line holding the gun. Sometimes your job is an intelligence officer, or your job is the cook, and you do other things that support. It is a battleground. It's a battleground for minds. It's a battleground for changing opinions and raising and developing future citizens that won't go into schools with guns and that don't feel like that is the natural way of things. So it's a battleground, but it's not a battleground that requires a gun. It may require something different.
Okay, maybe I want to throw out here a 1993 study conducted by the Center for Disease Control found that having a gun at home increased the risk of an injury or death related to firearms. What would you estimate it would be like if you or your colleagues were carrying guns to school, concealed or not? Randy Weingarten posed this. She's the president of the American Federation of Teachers, that where would a kindergarten teacher put her gun? Would she wear it in a holster? Would she lock it in a cabinet, but then if a shooter came, you have to unlock the cabinet? So would you be more afraid of each other if other people, if you had a disagreement with another colleague and you all were carrying guns? I mean, what would that be like? What would the world be like that?
You know, I can't even imagine having to even think about that. We had a lockdown drill today. You know, and my babies were scared. And I had to explain to them why we had to do that, why this was going on. That's not what school is for. And these children, these students that are marching, preparing for these rallies, I'm behind them 100%. You know, somewhere in the Bible it says that, and the children will lead them. We need to listen, because they're talking about something that needs to be heard, and I'm behind them.
Having a gun at school is just not responsible. I mean, we do so many things to where we're being proactive. This is like a disaster waiting to happen. There's several things, and we all know children get into things, and, you know, with schools being a safe place and a place for them, I mean, the classroom is there. Is theirs just like it's the teachers. And so to have that in there, I mean, it's just asking for something to happen. I think out of all the things, yes, something does need to be done, but having to resort to having a gun in the classroom is just not that's not the way to go at all.
I think one thing that we need to, as a society and as educators, need to clear up is what does it mean to arm teachers? After Parkland, President Trump made some offhand remarks that made it sound like he wanted every teacher to carry a gun to school. Subsequent talks and plans have not included that. I have not heard any plan that wants to force every teacher to carry a gun. If a teacher does not want one, they will not be forced to carry one, only under certain circumstances and if they are willing. Compared with the 1993 study, I think we're on new ground here. I don't think you can quite compare having a gun at home with having a gun at school. This would be an experiment, and it would have its own data, and I have no idea which way it would flow.
Hi, this is Rachel Gonzalez, the student representative on this panel. I think that we shouldn't experiment with guns or students in schools. I have just graduated from high school about a year ago, and I love my teachers, and they definitely made sure that I was okay emotionally and safe in their classrooms, but it is absolutely terrifying to think of my teachers having guns on them. And it's also hypocritical of Congress to talk about even arming teachers, because we can't afford to pay for teachers' school supplies. So I don't know how they all of a sudden got millions of dollars to train teachers, to give them guns, and to also, President Trump says that he wants to give teachers who have guns bonuses. You can't pay teachers a living wage now. Why do you want to waste millions of dollars trying to arm teachers when, first of all, we should be making sure that guns are in school in the first place?
As we kind of consider the idea of arming teachers and the various proposals out there, which do have a variety of kind of conditions with them, I want to remind everybody that just a couple weeks ago, on March 14th, there were two accidental shootings in U.S. schools on the same day. One was a teacher in California. The other was an SRO in Virginia. Both of these teachers were highly trained. Now, neither of these shootings occurred in the state of Florida, but it did strike me that they occurred about a week after the Florida legislation passed. I think it's important to remember that while some of this legislation does have the right intent, and most of it, most of the proposals do not require all teachers to have guns, we do have to remember that just additional guns in schools does increase the chance of accidental shootings.
Earlier, I read a stat that said 20% when a police officer, a well-trained, academy police officer, even with multiple years of duty, is engaged in a active shooting, that they normally, with the adrenaline flowing, only hit their target 20% of the time. If a person trained that well who does it every day only hits 20% of the time, can you imagine even a person who was trained before, even with military experience, what it would be like for them to do it during an active shooting scenario, because they wouldn't be doing that every day. 20% of the time is not enough for me, and it's more chance that I would ever want to take for any student or my own child. And, you know, I'll be the one to bring up, we now live in a society, on top of where we're having school shootings, we're dealing every week, month with shootings of unarmed African-Americans, minorities, Latinos. I would hate for the scenario, and I don't think any school district wants to handle the scenario of a staff member, teacher, or even an assist officer who ends up shooting someone by accident who really didn't have a gun or wasn't in that scenario, especially one of minority descent.
I completely agree. I think that that's definitely a really big problem, but I think that we also need to go back to the fact that we need to ban AR-15s, because a handgun will not compare to an AR-15. By the time a teacher is able to pull the gun out of their holster and fire it, they would already be shot by an AR-15.
And in addition to all of that, when we are in our classrooms, we're responsible for the safety and welfare of our students, not only to teach them, but also to just keep them safe and in a safe environment. If we would have to face that, like teachers around the country have had to face it, all I want to have to think about is keeping my students safe.
Training aside, my job is to teach, so I'm trying to think about what that would even be like if you've got a teacher worth his or her salt really into what they're trying to do, and they're managing a classroom full of students and they're managing their content, and a crisis occurs and they're supposed to switch out of that mode and they're supposed to be able to know how to handle themselves with a gun. I don't know what that does for the learning environment. Plus, what does that do for the learning environment going in? How can real teaching and learning actually take place if we're living under the veneer of fear constantly?
And I do want to add one thing relating to this Center for Disease Control study. The fact that there are no other real studies, and the NRA is responsible for this, is cutting funding to actually study. But worldwide, everyone knows that the United States has a serious gun problem.
I have, in the past couple of weeks, I've taken a couple of unscientific hands-up surveys of my classes about what they think of teachers carrying guns. And as a previous commenter said, I saw no students of color in support of it. And in particular, one student said, if the teacher had a gun, it doesn't matter what they would be teaching, I would just keep thinking, yeah, but you have a gun. So I think that's also something we need to keep in mind.
And I'd like to find out how many educators think about a school shooting when they go to work. Does anybody think about that?
Right now, I don't, because it hasn't happened anywhere close to here that I know of. And I don't want to think about it. I do not want to think about it. I want to think about educating my children. I've said earlier, I had to explain to kindergarten students why we were having a lockdown drill. I had to explain to them, okay, you know, you just need, don't worry about anything. Worry about you being safe and trust that I will keep you safe. I just don't understand any of all of this stuff that's going on in the world today.
Actually, I do. I have older students, and we keep up with current events, and they're inquisitive. They inquire about certain things that happen in different parts of the country, and it always comes around to, okay, so what if this happens here, or what are we going to do? Well, look at this window, or do we need to do this, or do we need to have my books, or, you know, so it is something that is a constant conversation in our classroom, because my students are older, and they are aware of the possibility that this can happen everywhere, anywhere, and they just kind of just keeping them letting them know what they need to do to stay safe. And then in the back of my mind, you know, making sure little things that you may not even think of, always having your keys or always having your door locked, even if it's open, still having it locked. Little things that you probably wouldn't want to think about are things that I kind of do on a daily basis just in case.
It's interesting that you ask if we've thought about school shootings, because even just this afternoon, not that I think about school shootings, but it does put you on high alert. Like this afternoon, I was teaching, and I have a classroom with windows, and the shades are drawn to kind of keep out the sun, and there was a thump. And it was very loud, and under any other circumstance, it'd be like, well, that's weird. It's spring, right? Maybe a bird flew into the window or something like that, right? But it's one of those things where it stopped what we were doing, because it had to stop what we were doing, because we're all on high alert. And the kids are looking around at each other, and we're asking ourselves, what could that be? And instead of me being able to go on with the lesson, it was like, really, it behooved me to go over and look at it. And I didn't want to, but the kids were saying, we see some movement outside the window. And I had to go outside, and I looked out the window. And indeed, there was a student there, was agitated, but there was a teacher talking to the student outside. And so I assumed that that was going to be taken care of. But the fact that a bump against a window makes me stop what I'm trying to do for students is really disheartening and just frankly quite sad.
After our drill today, somebody slammed a door. One of my babies, I had to grab her by the skirt because she was headed directly for the area that we had designated as our safe area. For 5 minutes, I couldn't teach. I had to hold the baby in my arm, explain to her that it was just a noise. So I don't care if you are high school or if you are elementary school, maybe even preschool. I don't know what they do in the preschools now. But this thing with the guns, it needs to be addressed. I'm glad that the students are doing it. Again, I'm saying I'm supporting them 100%.
And I think that as we continue to support the students that are out there, we might be able to see some changes in gun laws, because some of the gun laws are effective. If you look around at some of the different states who have some gun laws that keep AK-47s out of the hands of civilians, or that have special laws that are designed to keep arms safer, even in a home, so that children can't get to them, those states do have a lower rate of murders and other kinds of crimes that guns are used for. So if we start looking at some of the models around the country, we can actually find some ways to make a difference in this situation. And how Congress and other people with some power can just say, well, it's not a good time, or other kind of comments like that, after children have been killed, after children have been hurt, and the other children are all going to be in, you know, they're all going to be thinking about this day after day. They need to get busy, and we need to continue to support the kids, and we need to continue to go to rallies and write our congressmen and just make some noise to let them know that they need to do their job.
So a question I think some of our listeners might have is, how serious are deficiencies in the mental health care system? Describe some of the needs that your students have that go unmet on a daily basis.
I spent 2 years teaching at an urban alternative school a few years ago, and almost everybody there is there for a traumatic reason for one or another. And we had a psychologist that would come in for 1 hour once a month. And so a lot of the teachers kind of ended up being an unofficial, somebody to talk to. One young man told me about how he shot the man that was abusing his mom when he was like 15, and that he vomited right afterwards. I have had a couple where their principal wanted to give us a heads up that the student is schizophrenic, and we've got them in our classroom. It's just, and so 1 hour once a month for an entire school full of kids, it's not going to work.
There is, in fact, pretty severe deficiency in what we have in the mental care healthcare system, and it's not the people. There are great people in the system. It's the system itself, and it's the funding. It's also the integration. The mental health services that our students need aren't always available in the schools. I have a friend who recently adopted her foster child, and this friend is also an amazing teacher. This was a student in her school, and she saw a need, and she stepped up. She has to pull him out of school often for his mental health appointments because of the abuse that he received previously. In a system that's focused on individual students, these mental health services would be available to him at the school site. If we can integrate these services and we can fully fund them, we can meet these needs.
It's definitely something that needs to be a top priority. It can no longer be ignored. Besides having full-time counselors, full-time psychologists, we even need to have a curriculum for students to learn how to manage their feelings. You're not going to be happy all the time. It's normal to be angry. They need to know how to place and center those feelings to where they won't have a negative output and blow up or cause bodily harm to themselves or someone else. They need to know how to handle those feelings so that they'll still be able to go on and live a positive, happy life.
Mental health is important from preschool all the way to death. But I think even what my colleagues are talking about is not what attributes to these mass shootings. The type of students that the gentleman spoke about earlier, they'll generally tell you what they're going to do, and you can address that. The ones that we deal with at our schools are not the kids that, I'm just being honest, and again, I'm going to go back to minorities, but they're not the kids who are walking into these schools and shooting them up. I think that is the crutch that politicians and NRA and other people that are such staunch gun supporters use to say, again, it's not the guns that kill people, it's the people that kill people, and it's because they're mentally ill. Nobody's life is perfect. I won't attribute that to B. But a lot of those people, whether that be the Columbine shooters or the Parkland shooter, these aren't people that we saw the greatest need. Everybody needs to be looked at, but these aren't the people that most of us are addressing when we're talking about the mental health need. We're talking about students who we want to just make sure can live successful lives because of all the trauma they've been through. Again, I don't want to downplay any of the shooters' lives because that's not for me to do. But I think we are very quick to say it was a mental issue, let me be honest, when it is a Caucasian person who shoots up a school. But I don't ever hear a mental issue when it's a African-American who kills his fellow student outside of school, or a Latino in a gang shooting. It's only in this instance of a mass shooting where a young Caucasian American shoots people that it's a mental health issue.
As a way to follow up on my colleague, how he was guessing that the students that I were talking to are not the type to shoot up a school, they would tell me what was going to go on. I completely agree with that. I've worked in several schools with metal detectors, and I can tell you they don't work. They are only for show to make parents feel safer. I've seen kids who they put a knife outside the back door. They go in through the front door, pass the metal detectors, go out to the back door, pull the knife in, and now they've got a knife in school. I think we have to pay attention to the race issue. The reason that urban schools tend not to get shot up is because urban youth don't want to shoot up their schools.
So Democracy Now! News program states that black children are 10 times more likely to be killed by guns. Any comments?
And that's all very true, but that is a truly discussion that we can't get into in this short amount of time. I could give you societal ills. I could give you Jim Crow. I could give you slavery. I could give you a mountain of different things that attributes to minorities being more likely to be killed. I could give you racism just, you know, to be there. But in this area of school shootings and why we want to arm our teachers, it's not because of
the high rate of African Americans, Latinos, Asians, any minority. And please don't let me denigrate anyone that I did not mention. But that's not why we're here, and that's not what President Trump or any of our politicians are talking about. Because, as you know, Trump himself said, Chicago is a war zone, and I still ain't seen him try to do anything about that. But as soon as it happens into an affluent Caucasian school, then it's an issue for our society. So that stat, while very prevalent and could be a whole nother show, that has nothing to do with this one here.
Well, and I do agree with everything Cortland said. However, they're still not doing anything. 25-year-olds, 6-year-olds are shot, and they just talk a little bit in Congress and then go on their little merry way, taking their money from the NRA. So even though I think it's true, we finally start talking about it when it does happen in a more predominantly white suburban area, they're still not really doing anything to try and fix and adjust the problem.
Amen, sister.
We're nearing the end of our program. Does anybody have any final comments that they would like to make? What are your concerns about students at this particular time? What was your reaction to Stoneman Douglas students taking the lead on this?
Yeah, absolutely. Just kind of to go off the topic or to continue, extend the topic rather of gun violence, I want to remind everybody that nearly 2/3 of all gun deaths are suicides. Unfortunately, I've lost many students to suicide, and almost every single one of them has been a gun death. In almost every instance, the gun was from their own home. I urge all the parents out there to think about the presence in the guns of your home, the homes of your, the guns in your homes, rather. Absolutely, you have a right to have a gun in your home, and I'm not challenging that right. But if you do choose to keep a gun in your home, do your homework on safe storage methods. It is heartbreaking to hear stories of parents who lost their children to suicide by a gun that they thought was stored safely.
Okay, so tonight, we're nearing the end, and in a moment, the conclusion of our thoughts as educators and teachers of the children we not only teach, but the children we love.
Close my eyes to the violence. Close the window to hate. We can't fall.
just wanted to remind everybody that we need to make sure that bills such as HB 1865 should not get through the Missouri legislature. This bill would make it impossible to have gun-free zones. It would make it to where we could have guns in churches and daycares, and what gets me the most is in bars. I personally do not think that alcohol and guns mix, and we need to make sure that this bill does not get passed in the Missouri legislature.
And to follow up on that, this is an election year. Please make sure that you are registered to vote, that you know where you go to vote. Don't be fooled by the commercials, by the flyers, by all of the press. Really do your research and make the decisions. If you're not satisfied by the way things are going, we as a community have the power to change it, and that's in the voices in your vote.
So this is Luann, and I just want to extend my thank you to KKFI to allow us to be able to have this program tonight. I am very honored to be here with these educators. I can feel the passion. I want to add a few things here towards the end. This is such an important issue, and it's such a hairy and scary kind of issue. Right across town right now, Kyle Palmer from KCUR is hosting a town meeting, and he's got this forum called Keeping Our Schools Safe, and this is something that is going on right now. He is the moderator of the No Wrong Answers podcast, and he is taking questions and answers in the Shawnee Mission School District on 71st Street. The March for Our Lives event that's coming up this Saturday, I'm hoping that teachers get out there and they become visible as well, because there's a time for teachers to get up and be able to be present and show that we really care for Kansas City, and that's around 12:42 on that Saturday. And finally, for teachers who are interested, there's going to be an open mic event that's going to be held at the Beer Station in the Waldo area, and that's from 4 to 6. Teachers who have written about this subject and would like to come and read their pieces are welcome to do so.
Finally, we want to say thank you for listening. Good night. And remember, homework is not just for our kids. It's for us all.
Hi, this is Judy Ansel. Mark Grunberg, are you there? This is this week's Washington Window on Workers, and we're going to talk about trade. And, you know, the economic alarms out there are really, working overtime. You know, lately we've been hearing that wages are moving up from zero, and so we need to be worried. We need to raise interest rates because the economy may overheat because of inflation. And now Trump is implementing a trade war. And I want labor is saying about these trade sanctions that Trump is doing. What's the AFL-CIO saying, Mark?
Oh, the AFL-CIO, the steel workers, the machinists, basically everybody and their mother-in-law is cheering, in so many words. The only discordant, and it's hardly discordant, is from Rich Trumpy. He said, okay, now that you've done this, you've got a few other things you got to do to help workers, like rebuild communities, build infrastructure, provide good jobs, things like that. But everybody is cheering because these are the folks, you know, this is one of the few things Trump is right about. These are the folks who've been to much of the world, not all of the world, much of the world has been taking us to the cleaners for the last, 30 years, if you will.
Well, okay, but is this going to really fix the problem? Because, you know, they're saying that there's going to be retaliation, and so some other U.S. products are going to be stopped from exporting. What's labor saying about that?
They haven't talked much about the other U.S. products. I will give you my own personal view is that for many of these products, be they farm goods or finished goods or manufactured goods, we are the world supplier. There is, in so many words, no place else to go. The options are few and far between. We are big enough and have enough money and moxie that the others do have to trade with us. And, yeah, we can work out details, but basically it's about time they traded with us, not on their terms, not on a mercantilist economy, which is what many of them have, like Japan and China and Korea, very mercantilist, but on our terms.
Okay. They're also saying
that's my own opinion.
They're also saying that there's going to be a lot of legal issues because Trump is doing this as a national security thing. And the real complaints against China is that they are subsidizing their steel and selling it, dumping it into the U.S. market. Isn't that correct?
Right, that's correct. Steel and aluminum. Let's not forget aluminum here, because that's just as important. But yes, and so as a result, Trump. That's why Trump decided to do that one as national security. Now, whether that will hold up, he's doing it under a part of trade law where the other nations can't take it to the World Trade Organization. The tariffs he announced this afternoon against China specifically are those that we can be taken to the World Trade Organization. So this is going to be tangled up in the legalism for many years. Uh-huh. But in the meantime, they go into effect until the WTO rules.
Right. Okay. So, yeah, we'll see what happens. Meanwhile, the Canadians and the Europeans are kind of upset with us because they don't know whether we're going to apply these sanctions to them or not. So, to me, it seems pretty chaotic. And it's not our real problems. Our real problem is the race to the bottom. And Trump has done nothing to deal with, what's wrong with our trade agreements. And, he's using NAFTA as a bargaining chip, but he's not trying to fix the stuff in NAFTA that's really bad for workers. So we'll see with this. But he's going to get a lot of points with particularly people in the steel and aluminum industries. We are out of time. Go ahead.
And with the people in the all over the Midwest, yes.
Right. Well, he's already thinking about his reelection. So thank you very much, Mark Grunberg, and we'll talk to you next month.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah. And now for the Heartland Labor Forum calendar. On Saturday, this coming Saturday, March 24th, from noon to 4 p.m., March for Our Lives, Kansas City. It's at Thies Park, and this, of course, was what was being talked about on the show tonight. This is against guns, 533 Emmanuel Cleaver Boulevard in Kansas City. Enough weapons are not more important than people. That's the slogan. Also at from 3 to 5 p.m., the Poor People's Campaign Faith Assembly will be at Community Christian Church, 4601 Main in Kansas City. Next Monday, March 26th, learn about the dictatorship in Honduras and how it's affecting working people, indigenous people, and democracy. This is sponsored by the Cross Border Network, and it is Monday, March 26, 7 p.m. at the Kauffman Conference Center, 4801 Rock Hill Road. Missouri Labor Mobilization in Jeff City is Wednesday, March 28, 10 to 11:30 a.m., rally at noon at the Missouri State Capitol. And the Jobs with Justice Organizing Committee monthly meeting will be Tuesday, April 3rd at 6:30. That's it for the Heartland Labor Forum. Tune in next week. Our show is called Unions Speak Out on the Harley-Davidson Shutdown and NCAA Players, Workers, Students, or Slaves. Thanks to tonight's engineer, Lincoln Dreyer, and stay tuned for the Thursday night special.
Now after 15
Listening to the Heartland Labor Forum, a show by and about workers, our workplaces, and our labor movement. We are radio that talks back to the boss, and you can talk back too. Send us your workplace stories, news, and ideas for shows to heartlandlaborforumkkfi@gmail.com. Our website, where we archive shows and post our upcoming schedule, is heartlandlaborforum.org. The views expressed on the Heartland Labor Forum are ours and not necessarily those of KKFI or any of the unions involved. Tune in every Thursday evening to the Heartland Labor Forum at 6 o'clock or to our Friday morning rebroadcast at 5 o'clock right here at 90.1 FM KKFI.
The common man's rights to be in the working class is good enough for me.
Hi, this is Jen Zaman, and you are listening to 90.1 FM KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio.